Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, today we have brought for you a very interesting and much talked of topic. And that is, what is magic and how does Islam view it? Well, magic is a kind of supernatural act which has an impact on men. At times, it is a kind of jugglery and sleight of hand, while on the other occasions, it is just psychological and imaginary. According to the dictionary, magic has two meanings. Deception, guile, sleight of hand is one. And according to the book Camus al-Lughah, magic means to deceive. So what we can say is, in a nutshell, all such things, the causes of which are invisible and mysterious, can be qualified as magic, right? Generally speaking, of course, there may be exception to this definition, but generally speaking, all of those things that causes of which are invisible and mysterious, okay, they're magic. There are three meanings that we can do of what magic is. The first one is, and, you know, these are the famous meanings. You know, somebody can come up with other meanings too, and that's fine. But these are the common meanings that are commonly perceived by common people. So the first one is deception and imagination, which are devoid of reality, like sleight of hand, okay? Number two is attracting the Satans by special means and seeking assistance from them. There are forms of magic through which people do this. They invite and they invoke the Satans and use their negative energies to their benefit. Okay. The third one is, it is possible to transform the essence and the form of people or entities by certain means. For example, transforming man by means of it into an animal. So, you know, people assume that some people have the power to do magic on another person and turn them into, let's say, a monkey or, you know, a crocodile, a snake, okay? According to Islamic scholars, however, this kind is nothing more than a mere fancy. And it doesn't possess any reality, okay? So the Islamic scholars say that this third category, where a human being can be transformed into an animal, a lizard, I don't know, all you can think of is like, it's not possible, okay? This is changing the state of a human being is not possible, in which it becomes from a human to an animal. We're going to take a short break, and after we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the two categories of magic that Islam believes in, and, you know, one of them having an influence and the other one not having an influence. Stay tuned and we will explain those concepts to you once we come back from the break.
Neither the Quran was magic, nor the Prophet a magician, in the words of Nu'man Ali Khan.
Rasulullah was among his people for 40 years. They argue in linguistics that people have speech patterns. People tend to use similar kinds of sentences. People tend to make the same kinds of mistakes when they speak. You know? They have add-ons, like I say, you know, a lot. That's my thing. I say, you know? I say that a lot, like, you know? So there's a pattern in speech. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started reciting Quran, was it like his other speech? No. And can you immediately tell? Wait, that's not how he talks. Nobody talks like that. I never heard anybody talk like that. What is that? You understand? They don't see a book in front of him. They don't see the angel giving him the book. They don't see any of it. But they can still tell this is not from him. This is from somewhere else. This is not from him. So when they heard it, they would call him a magician. Right? They would call him a magician. Now the thing with magic is something you're supposed to see. If I pull a pigeon out of here right now, you know, if I pulled out a napkin from here and it kept on going, you know, then this would be something you see and you're impressed. Magic is usually and pretty much always something you see. The Quraysh are calling Rasulullah a magician not because of something they see, but because of something they... Oh, that's weird. That's weird. They're so impressed by this speech, even though they don't believe, that they're ready to call it as impressive as magic. So we think when they called him a magician, they were insulting him. But actually, they themselves didn't even realize they were accepting half the faith already. Because when you call something magic, you've already taken a leap of faith. You're saying, I have no other explanation. It's some mystical, unusual, paranormal activity that's going on here that I cannot describe through science or common sense. So I'm going to call it what? Magic. Well, you're already halfway there, buddy. You already said it's from the unseen. You know, you're already making that progress. So this is one of the concepts I want you to think about, inshallah ta'ala, in your studies of the Quran. Like I said, how come the surahs are in this order? How come the stories are a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there? How come the names of the prophets actually, what do the names of the prophets mean? Like what does Musa mean? What does Ibrahim mean? These are not Arabic words, right? They're not Arabic words. And how, is there a miracle even in the meanings of their names? Is there even a miracle in that? SubhanAllah, you know? There are other questions, like some people think there are mistakes in the Quran or contradictions in the Quran. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's not get angry at them. Let's say, Allah says, Hatu burhanakum. Bring your evidences, bring your concerns, bring your criticisms. Allah invited them to do that. So when they do that, they say, these kuffar, they think they're contradictions in the Quran. Dude, they're like, they're doing what Allah told them. Welcome, bring it. Bring it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it from you. Let's hear what you have to say about this book. And then let's respond. Let's do that. And we have to be people that are not afraid of criticism. Our book is so awesome, we don't have to fear criticism. We have to be loving this book. And we have to be so confident in this book. I tell you, I'm motivated to teach this particular course and this subject matter because it did something for me. There's, you know, you already have iman, but it's spiritual in nature. But when you go through this stuff, it becomes intellectual on top of that. There's no way this can be done by a human being. It's not possible. That's not possible. You know? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر You can say it once or 100 times or more You feel at peace inside and it'll open every door.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So before the break, we were talking about the reality of magic and some of the meanings of the word magic and what Islam's take on it is. Now, in this section, we're going to be discussing quickly the two categories of magic. The first one is those instances wherein the objective is deception, jugglery, sleight of hand, and possesses no reality. Okay. As we read, and you know this verse of Quran, then lo, their cords and their rods, it was imaged to him on account of their magic, as if they were running. So look at Quran, like the way Quran puts it, as if they were running. Okay, so they were actually not running. The image was created. Another verse of the Quran says, so when they cast, they deceived the people's eyes and frightened them. And they produced a mighty enchantment. So see, here Quran is clearly alluding to lack of reality when it comes to certain types of magic. From these verses, it can be ascertained that magic does not possess any reality such that it could exert control over things and leave an impact and influence upon them. Rather, it is jugglery of the magicians that gives the impression of magic. From some of the verses of the Quran, it can be inferred that certain kinds of magic do yield an influence, such as this verse, which says, even then, men learned from these two magic by which they might cause a separation between a man and his wife. And they learned what harmed them and did not profit them. This is another verse. In this regard, all the Islamic jurists have declared the learning and practicing of magic to be prohibited. Furthermore, we present some traditions that have been narrated from the Imams and which have been reported in the authentic books of Islam. Imam Ali alayhi salam, for instance, in this narration is saying, one who learns magic, less or more, has become an infidel, and his association with Allah is completely severed. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is guiding us on learning magic. He's prohibiting us from doing that. Okay, if we go down that route, we will become infidel. Okay, so this is important for us to know that in Islam, we are actually discouraged, very strongly discouraged from learning the magic. However, as we have mentioned, if it is for the purpose of nullifying the sorcery of the sorcerers, then there is no harm in it. Okay, so the exception to the case is that we know that somebody is a magician and is causing the pain and agony in the society. To nullify the effects caused by this magician, there is no harm in learning magic. But remember, it's a slippery slope. Don't make it an excuse for yourself to get down to a level where we, God forbid, become infidel. At times, on the basis of general obligation, wajib-e kifai, okay, some individuals must necessarily learn it so that they can nullify the sorcery of a false claimant to prophethood. So sometimes people come and they want to claim to be a prophet on the basis of some of the magic that they have learned. In such cases, of course, those God-fearing protectors of Islam, there is a responsibility on their shoulder to nullify the magic of the magician and prove to people that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last of the messengers. Okay, so we have gone over some of the details of magic, how it's looked at in Islam, and what are the rulings on it in the light of the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thank you for listening to today's show. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. La ilaha.